It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The State Department of Public Instruction releases report cards this week to give a glimpse at how our state's public schools are doing. Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter Corrine Hess is here to help explain these scores that judge the performance of school districts, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, bring your comments. The number to call in is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Corey, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So this week, DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, releases these report cards showing that 83% of Wisconsin's public schools met or exceeded expectations. How does this figure compare to previous years? Put this in context.
It's down slightly, not much. Last year, 84% of schools met expectations, and the year before, 87% were meeting expectations.
And when you say meeting expectations, what are these report cards scoring schools on?
Well, the report cards look at four priority areas: achievement, growth, target group outcomes, and if students are on track to graduate.
And they also look at multiple years, is that right?
That is right. And it's kind of hard just to look at, you know, these scores, like we're talking about meeting expectations. So, for example, Milwaukee Public Schools, Green Bay, and Madison all met expectations. They all got 3 stars, but they all really are doing very differently. So, for example, only about 14% of Milwaukee Public School students are proficient in reading, compared to 41% of Madison students. So, you know, it's hard to just look at the ratings themselves and make a determination of how a school district is doing, because there's so much data that goes into these report cards. They're several pages long. So if you really want to know how your school or how your district is doing, it's good to read the whole report card. I mentioned achievement and growth, and those are weighted differently for school districts, especially school districts like Milwaukee, where there's more economically disadvantaged students.
So what you're saying here, I think, is that these report cards are complex and the inputs are weighted differently for different districts, because if you see such a wide disparity in reading, that wouldn't be like the same type of comparison then.
That's right. So, I mean, some conservative groups took issue with 94% of the state's school districts are meeting expectations, which, you know, it's like, well, so almost all the districts in the state are doing well then. But you know, there are some issues. Some schools and districts are still struggling, and for different reasons. And so, you know, I just think that it's good to dig down and look at different things, different areas of what's going on in the schools.
Are there particular school districts that appear to be having greater challenges?
Well, I mean, I think all school districts have their own unique challenges, you know? I mean, urban school districts have different challenges than rural school districts. And so, like I said, I think it's important to look at your individual school and your individual district, not just the stars that they get.
This year's report cards show more private schools being graded by the Department of Public Instruction. How are private schools performing compared to public schools?
Well, it's kind of hard, too, to compare private and public schools, because most private schools don't get report cards. So DPI only makes report cards for private schools that get public funding through the voucher program, and only the private schools that have enough students taking standardized tests. So there are more this year. I think about 400 private schools got report cards. Last year, it was less than 200. And of those, about 80% met or exceeded state expectations. And that's down from about 87% last year.
absenteeism is a concern on this set of report cards. The State Education Department is tracking this rise and how often students are absent more than 10% of possible attendance days. How concerned are state education leaders about this rise?
Well, they're very concerned. So we've done some reporting on this, and the new absentee numbers won't come out until March of 2024. But what we have already that from last year is nearly a quarter of students at both private and public schools missed at least a month of school, which is it's a ton of school to miss. And so both educators and politicians want to do something about this. DPI has made this a priority. They're using federal dollars to work with educators. And Speaker Robin Voss has formed a task force to look at this issue.
What are the barriers that kids face in attendance? I mean, what strategies will the Department of Public Instruction discuss with districts?
Well, I think they're working with individual districts to find out what those barriers are. In talking to Milwaukee Public Schools, I mean, there's a lot of barriers. There's mental health issues in families. There's poverty. There's crime. There's a lot of factors that go into to people's lives that are keeping kids from getting to school. I think sometimes you think like kids just don't want to go to school, but I think it's a lot more complex than that. So I believe, you know, DPI and educators and politicians are trying to get to the bottom of that.
How does this report card, you know, when you talk about multiple years in this report card, how does it compare to pre-pandemic levels of achievement for schools?
They're still not back to okay. pre-pandemic levels. But this report card was the first one that did not have the pre-pandemic years.
Oh.
So we're finally past. We're finally getting past that.
But the Department of Public Instruction, I continually hear it say that they are still in recovery mode. And from your analysis as an education reporter, what does that really mean?
I think when they say that, they mean that things were not perfect before the pandemic, and they've repeatedly said they don't want to go back to everything before the pandemic because they recognize, you know, things weren't perfect then either. There's disparities, you know, there's racial disparities and other disparities that they hope to keep working on.
Corrine Hess is Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter, bringing us the latest in education news around the state. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at any point. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We check in on the latest in Wisconsin schools, their accountability, their funding, their oversight, with WPR's education reporter Corrine Hess is here tracking developments. And you can be part of the discussion. Call in along the way to ask a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Michael from Menominee Falls. Hi, Michael. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, good morning. I think the data that we get about the schools is great, helps us see where the gaps are, where to improve, areas to focus on. But I also would like to see the administrators, the teachers, the students, of course, but also the parents. I think we should have grading systems for all of those groups of people and systems behind you know, the school system. Because if the parents aren't engaged, it's very, very hard to get a good education. And I don't see anywhere where the parents are graded. And I have, I know some educators, and this is one of the most common themes I hear for problems in the classroom. Kids, it's not necessarily they don't want to learn, but they're not encouraged to learn. And I think we need to grade the parents.
Michael, thank you for that. And Corrine, taking that more holistic look at how a child is learning and the involvement of parents, what do you find through your reporting?
You know, I do think a lot of the more successful schools do have a lot of parent involvement, Michael, so that's a great point.
I want to turn now, Corey, to Milwaukee Public Schools, cutting off funding to a nonprofit called Milwaukee Education Partnership due to questions about what the organization has done with its funding. What are the concerns here?
Well, there were several concerns. So last week we did some reporting and we found that the executive director, Gerard Randall, was paid last year more than $64,000 for work that was not completed. And school board members had been expressing some concern about other services that the partnership was providing that may have been duplicate of things being done in the district. We also found that the Milwaukee Education Partnership's tax forms and website listed several high-profile officials that as board members without their knowledge. This included the Milwaukee mayor, state superintendent, and others. And so, you know, Gerard Randall was questioned, and his answers have been vague.
And so what occurred last night at the school board meeting?
So last night at the school board meeting, there was a resolution to put on hold any more dealings with this group and until an investigation could be done. And kind of in a surprise move, Superintendent Keith Posley said he had reviewed all the contracts and he was going to stop. He was not going to do anything else with them. And so this decade-long partnership is now done. And, you know, there was $75,000 set aside in this year's budget for the Milwaukee Education Partnership. So next month, they're going to come back and decide where to reallocate this money.
The nonprofit has received nearly $1.3 million in no-bid contracts from Milwaukee Public Schools over the past decade. How was the nonprofit supposed to be helping to improve test scores and teacher retention?
Well, when this started, it actually started about 20 years ago, and it kind of fizzled out, and then it was restarted 10 years ago with Mr. Randall. But when it started, it was supposed to be working with business groups and colleges, and just kind of, you know, it was really kind of important at the time when it started. And it included the Milwaukee Chamber of Commerce, UWM, MATC, several high-profile groups. But over the years, all of them have ended their affiliation with the Milwaukee Education Partnership. And so I think that's why the school board became concerned, because they realized that Milwaukee Public Schools was sort of the last man standing here.
And there was concern, I understand, over the language in the contract between Milwaukee Public Schools and Milwaukee Education Partnership. What language was garnering criticism?
Well, yes, this school board member, Missy Zambor, she's new to the school board, and she kind of just started examining this and noticed that the language is pretty broad, and so there was no checks and balances. And when she looked into it further, she found that this group's website was out of date. Reports hadn't been updated since 2017. Like I brought up before, these tax forms and other documents listed people that were no longer with the group. And so she began asking some questions.
We're talking about recent education news in Wisconsin. Corey Hess with us, Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Will it ever be known what Gerard Randall has done with the money over the years? Will there be an investigation?
You know, I'm not sure. Yesterday, he really declined to talk to me for any story.
Officially on the record.
Okay. Officially on the record, yeah. He sent a few emails. But yesterday before the board meeting, he sent an email through a representative saying he's proud of the work he's done, that he did connect young people with educational and professional opportunities. He said that the school board did not give him an opportunity to share the work he's done, and he called the previous reporting misleading and that it painted an inaccurate and incomplete picture.
So trying to defend what the partnership has done. Any idea whether it could be forced to refund the district of any of the money it's received?
You know, I talked to school board member Missy Zambor when I was doing earlier reporting about it, and she wasn't sure. I don't know, other than that $64,000 for the work that was not done, if there would be any. I don't think that they're to that point yet.
Okay, and in our final moments here together, Menominee Falls High School removing 33 books from its library. How are community members and authors responding to a book ban there?
Most people are not happy in Menominee Falls about this. One of the authors, Jody Pico, whose book 19 Minutes about a school shooting was banned, she's reached out to the school administrators for an explanation, and she's not gotten a response. So the families, the community members are pretty upset, but the school superintendent and school board president are being pretty quiet about it.
So far, no news on that front, but we'll keep watching it. Corey, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your reporting.
Thank you for having me.
Corrine Hess is Wisconsin Public Radio's education reporter, and you can visit our program page to stream, to download more programs. Also, if you have an idea for education or another topic, what the morning show should cover next, just get in touch with us. Email ideas@WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.